Wonderful morning, really great testimonies and worship and sharing and super. And just to remind you that we have also started micro gyms. Okay, if you attended a micro gym last week, could you put a thumbs up reaction so we can see the screen filled with thumbs up? If you attended a gym last week, you know how to put the reaction, right? Great, wow, almost every screen has got that thing there. You know, thumbs up. I want to encourage you to be part of a micro gym where four or five people gather together each week at different times. You know, I know a gym, I think that's meeting at 7 or 8, 7 o'clock in the morning. Others are meeting at 8 o'clock in the evening and some in the afternoon. So according to when you are free and you can gather with a few people for prayer, to study the word, to just share your lives. You know, so don't miss out on that. Get in touch with me if you don't know which gym you are part of or you'd like to be part of a micro gym. Wonderful. All right, let's come to God's word this morning. And so last week we looked at the importance of fellowship. We said that as a church, we have a mission, and that mission is to reach the lost. But reaching the lost is like raising the dead. And I give the illustration that imagine if you were given this assignment. Go to one of the cemeteries in Pune and just take whoever you want with you, whatever you want. But you have an assignment. Raise one person from the dead. That's a tough assignment. But that is exactly the assignment God has given us. People without Christ are spiritually dead. The Bible says they are hostile to God, and how can we cause them to come to life? Well, the Bible, today we're going to look at how that can happen a little and what is our role in that. But really, what we are called to do is to love them, to pray for them, and to proclaim the gospel to them. That's what we are called to do. That's your job. God's job is to touch them and bring them to life. We cannot bring anybody to life. Got it? So that's what we are called to do. And today we'll go into more detail about this great privilege that we have to share the gospel. Okay? So let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you that we can gather together online, Lord. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for your work in our lives, Lord. Lord, I pray that your grace, your anointing would be upon me as I share your word this morning. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to brood upon these words and cause much fruitfulness, cause your power to flow through, lives to be touched and transformed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right. Now, we gather each Sunday, and this time of gathering on a Sunday and at the gyms is a time where we hear God's word, and through that, through the preaching of the word, through the worship, we connect with God, we connect with one another, and the word of God is preached so that we can be transformed and we grow in maturity. That's great. Okay, that's what happens, and that's wonderful. But as we gather together, we just gather one or two days in the week for a couple of hours, but the rest of the week, we are supposed to go, to scatter into the world. Okay? And if you're a Christian, you know, a Christian means little Christ. And Jesus had two aspects to him. One was his godliness and his life. Okay, all the good things that he did. He was the only one without sin, and he went around doing good works. But the other part of his life was he brought people to repentance. He proclaimed the gospel. Okay, he brought people to salvation. That's what he says in Luke 19, verse 10. He says, even the Son of God came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came for the lost. And he died on the cross. He said it is finished. He went up to heaven and he passed on the baton to us. We now have that great privilege and responsibility of sharing the gospel. Do you know something? Once you leave this earth, there's no more sharing the gospel. In heaven, nobody is unsaved. So the only opportunity you have to share the gospel is now on earth. And, you know, and most people are not too keen about that, isn't it? Yeah, most people, you know, imagine if you have a conference, two conferences, two seminars. We're having the RRB, Regions Beyond Conference, on the 14th and 15th. Make sure you're attending both days. There'll be different seminars and the word and so forth. And imagine if there's one seminar that says, how to be blessed, you know, how to be incredibly blessed. And there's another seminar that says, how to share the gospel. Which one do you think would receive more participants? Yeah, anybody want to share?
How to be blessed.
How to be blessed. Everybody wants to be blessed. You know, how to share the gospel? Oh, no. Are you hearing what's happening in our nation and across the world? Persecution, people being beaten up, put in jail. Let me just stick with the blessing, okay? But, you know, God's call upon us. He saved us for a purpose. And we need to remind ourselves of this. Okay, and so that's my job this morning. My prayer is that as I proclaim God's word, God's spirit would stir our hearts. Okay, God wants to bless us. That's wonderful. But more than that, he wants us to be a blessing. And the best way we can be a blessing is as we take the news of the gospel to our friends, to our colleagues, and others. Okay, that's what we are called to do. So let's dive into the word this morning. The first thing I want us to remember is, you know, to remember your history or your heritage, you know, and we're going to look at that. Now, when we talk about your history and your heritage, I'm talking about the history of the church. We are part of the family of God. And we need to see what happens. Okay, in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, we see that there were 120 believers that gathered. In Acts, we'll quickly run through several of these verses. Okay, Acts chapter 1, verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up among the group of believers, a group numbering about 120. Wow. They were just 120 people. Small group, almost similar to what we are like. All right. Then, in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the Holy Spirit had come. Peter proclaims a glorious gospel, and in verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow, supernatural addition. Okay? In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Okay, that is from 120 to 3,000, and then daily people were being added to their number. In Acts chapter 4, verse 4, it says, but many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Wow. Now, this is only the men. Okay, and you know, in any church setting, usually there are fewer men and there are more women and children. So if there's 5,000 men, it must have been, you know, 12,000 women and children and more than that. Okay, then Acts chapter 5, verse 28. In Acts chapter 5, verse 28, this was what the high priest and the authorities spoke about the disciple. This is, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Listen, 2,000 years ago and today, it's the same thing. The authorities, religious people, don't want the gospel to be preached. Okay? And that's, we gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Wow. The whole city had heard about the gospel of Jesus. Okay. And in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, again, and really that word increasing means rapidly multiplying. Okay. It was just growing and growing and growing. And Acts chapter 6, verse 7. So the word of the Lord spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Wow. Look at that. chapter after chapter, the gospel is going forth and speaking. In Acts chapter 6, if you look at verse 7, okay, in Acts 21, verse 20, jump to that. When Paul goes to Jerusalem, this is what they say. Yet when they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to Paul, you see, brothers, how many thousands of Jews have believed, and all of them are zealous for your law. Wow. Myriads. Thousands and thousands and thousands. So friends, I want to first of all remind us that this is our heritage. This is in our genes. This gospel that the disciples preached is the same gospel we have today. So I want faith to rise up in your heart to realize that the gospel is powerful. It is potent. We don't need anything else. The gospel has the power. You know, for those of us who are on the training, you remember Romans 1:16, which says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile." Okay, there is power in the gospel. And we have access to the same gospel. We've seen it work across history. And as you read these words, let faith rise up in your hearts so that you also can believe that God can do the same thing in your life. Okay? In Romans chapter 10, Paul says, talks about how the gospel can make a difference in people's lives. Okay? And he says, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So for people to be saved, this is what needs to happen. They need to believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, the whole, you know, he died on the cross, rose from the dead, and then you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And in verse 14, he says, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? Romans 10, verse 14. And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Okay? So salvation will come about as the church, that's you and I, go and share the gospel with people. Okay? Now, that, friends, I want to remind us that this is our primary call. We are blessed to be a blessing. Now, you may be wondering, how can I do it? I don't know who to speak. I don't know who to go to. Now, we'll address that in the message this morning. But remember this. This is the call of every Christian. Okay? We'll look at some other verses with outline that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, in politics today, whenever there is a change in the cabinet, recently in our central government, they shuffle the cabinet and everybody is wondering who will be in, who will be out, who will get which portfolio, who will be a minister. Only a few can become ministers. But you know what? In the Christian church, it says there that he has given you the ministry of reconciliation. You are a minister and your portfolio is the ministry of reconciliation. Isn't that amazing? Okay. And it's not just a few of us. It's not just Manish and Shoma and Vijaya. No. It's every one of us. We have the ministry of reconciliation. And what is our role? He says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And verse 20 says more. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Wow. You know what that says? God is saying, I am not going to talk to those people. I have given you the message. You speak on my behalf. You represent me. So when you are speaking to people, it's as if God is speaking through you. All right. So that's our role. Now let's look at how we can go about this. Okay. Well, what do we need to do? And I'm going to list out 6 or 7 things that we need to do. Okay. How can we see what the early church saw? Amazing evangelism, people being saved. But before I start that, I want to ask you, would you like to see people come to faith? Would you like to see that? Yes? Yeah? Unmute yourselves and say, yes, I want to hear you.
Yes.
You know, there is nothing, you know, when a baby is born, now we've had so many babies born in the church recently. You know, you had Sandra's baby and you had, Rina and a few others, and Shoma is on the way. You know, when a baby is born, there's great joy.
Puja
was the latest. Puja. There's great joy when a baby is born. And you know, the mother, the father, you call up everybody possible and say, by the way, I'm a father or I'm a mother, and all this is happening. You're so happy. But I tell you, there is great joy and even greater joy when a spiritual baby is born. Now, for a baby to be born, you need to be married, you need to have a husband or a wife together. But here, you can be single and you can have spiritual children. Okay? Aim for that. Now, what do we need to do? Let's look at six things. First one. Okay. Number one is we need to pray for workers. Okay? Different things we need to pray for. So Matthew chapter 9 verse 38. Matthew chapter 9 verse 38. Okay, we'll start at verse 35. It says there, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Remember, Jesus is our model. This is what he did. He went everywhere and he did this. He taught, he preached the gospel, and he healed every sickness and disease. Okay? That's your calling. That's my calling. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You know, when we look at people that we meet with, our workplace, our neighbors and others that we pass by on the street, you know, people believe all kinds of weird things, Okay, they were harassed and helpless without hope and without God like sheep without a shepherd. And that's the state of the world today. And what did Jesus do? He said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Okay? Now, I'm going to be reading a lot of scriptures. And the reason I'm reading and quoting scripture is that, you see, faith will come in our hearts as we hear God's word. When we look with our natural eyes, we can say, oh, it's very hard. It's very difficult. People are not responding. But when we listen to God's word, and listen to what Jesus is saying, okay? This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Okay? So Jesus is saying the problem is not with the harvest, it's with the laborers or the workers. And then he says in verse 30, he gives us a solution. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So the first thing we need to pray for, and in this week in our micro gyms, we're going to spend time praying for these different things. So the first thing is we're praying, Father, send out workers into your harvest field. Okay? We're obeying Jesus' command. This is what Jesus said to do. And as we pray, you know what will happen? You will become an answer to that prayer. Okay? You will become an answer to that prayer, among others. All right. So we're praying for the harvest field. We're praying for workers. The second thing we're doing, we're praying for open doors. Turn to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. And Colossians 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too that God may open a door for our message. Okay? So I'm outlining what things are said in Scripture that we need to do that we can be fruitful in evangelism. So the first thing was pray for workers. The next thing is to pray for open doors. Now, I'll give you an example. You know, many years ago when we were in Goa, we were having a gym in another city, and we would travel there once a week from Margao to Panjim to conduct a gym in our home. And we would meet in this person's house where the husband was never there because he was working all the time. Okay? And so we never got to meet the husband. We met the wife, we met her relatives, we met the other people who came for the gym, but never met the husband. And so we said, "Where is your husband?" He says, "Well, he's got a high-pressure job. He's working all the time, 7 days a week. We could never see him." And so we prayed. We prayed, "Lord, give us open doors, Lord. Work something out that we would meet the husband and share the gospel with him." And you know what happened? A couple of weeks later, as we went for the gym, we met the husband for the very first time. And we said, "What happened?" He said, "I just got fed up of my job. I quit." Okay, because he was just working all the time. And that day, I took him out. And we said, first time I've met him, we spent time chatting with him. I shared the gospel with him. And he made a commitment to Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, now this is the power of praying for open doors. The great apostle Paul did the same thing. Okay, he says, "Pray for us that God may open a door." Now think about who you are witnessing to. Who are you planning to invite for Friendship Sunday? Say, "Lord, open a door, Lord, open a door, Lord, pray." We don't know how God will do it. You know, they may come to you and say, "You know, Meher, please pray for me. I have this problem." Or they may share a problem with you. Or something may happen. Pray for an open door. And people in their lives go like a pendulum. You know, from calm, everything is well, to crisis. Calm to crisis. When everything is going well, they don't want God. The moment things get bad, then they want God. Okay? And so, when that happens, that's an open door for you to step in. It could be an illness, it could be a job insecurity, it could be relationship problems, but you're there ready to pray for them and bring the power of God into their lives. All right. So we prayed for open doors. Next, we're going to pray for ourselves. Okay, look at Colossians chapter 4. It says there, "And pray for us too," verse 3. "Pray for us too," okay, "one, that God may open a door, but that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains." So you're saying, "Lord, help me, Lord, to proclaim the gospel." Okay, and verse 4 says, "Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." Okay, clearly as I should. So this is what we're doing. We're saying, "Lord, I'm willing to go, but I'm praying for myself, Lord. Help me to say the right things, to proclaim it clearly, to be bold." Okay? And that's what we're doing. So we need to pray for workers. We need to pray for open doors. We need to pray for ourselves. You know? And I'll give you an example. Some of you may have heard this example before. Many years ago, when we first came to Pune, you know, we were just a handful of people in the church, and we would want to reach out to everybody possible. Okay? And say, "How can we make friends?" And, you know, when we went to a supermarket, anything that moved, we wanted to talk to them. Yeah. We made lots of friends. We made Indians and Iranians and all Syrians and everybody else. We made friends. You know, that's what we did. And God opens doors amazingly. But what we've got to do is, here a couple of scriptures. One is we're praying for ourselves. And another key scripture is 1 Peter 3:15. "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give you the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Okay? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give you the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Okay, so here are a couple of things that involve us. You know, as we interact with people, somebody may come and speak to you and ask you, hey, you know, there's something different about you. What is it? You seem very peaceful. You know, you seem very kind or loving, or there's something I can see. You know, some people say, there is an aura about you. There is an energy I can feel that's positive. Okay, so what you've got to do is you've got to just say, you know, and you dive in to share a little bit about the gospel and how the gospel changed your life, your testimony, and so forth. You know? So that's what we're doing. Okay, so we are praying for ourselves. Okay, and First Peter says, be prepared to give an answer. Okay, so as you meet people, okay, ask God for wisdom of how you can engage with them. Okay, let's move on. Pray for the lost. Okay, pray for the lost. In John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Raising the dead, we can't do it. But he says, the Father who says, we can pray, Lord, I'm praying for my friend. Draw them to your son, Jesus. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Okay. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, so you see, the problem with people is that Satan has blinded them. And so we are praying. He's saying, Jesus, take away the blindness, Lord. Take away the blindness. Okay, so evangelism involves a lot of prayer. And we are praying for that to happen. Sometimes we've got to pray for a long time. You may have heard of Saint Augustine. Okay, Saint Augustine was a great church father. Amazing, but he wasn't always a great Christian. You know, he was born into a family where his mother was a believer, his father was not a believer, and he went off to study, and he led a sinful debauchery, a life full of debauchery. And his mother Monica was so pained about it. She kept praying for his salvation. You know, and somewhere down the line, his father died. But before his father died, his father came to faith. Wow. And that encouraged her to continue to pray for her son. And one day, 1 year before she died, Augustine met with God, came to faith, became a great church father. And so she prayed for many years. So when we are praying for the lost, some of you may have been praying for relatives or friends for a long time. You say, Lord, how long? We don't know how long. Okay, for some people, it's very fast. In a week or two weeks, people come to faith. Other times, it's a long time. Our responsibility is to just continue to be faithful in prayer. Okay, that's our job. God, in his own time, will touch those people. All right. So we're praying for the lost. So, can you make a list of people you're inviting? Soak them in prayer. Pray that they would come for Friendship Sunday. Pray that you would get opportunity to share things with them. Okay, but put them on the list and keep praying like Monica. Okay, pray the next one. Fifth one is we're praying for signs and wonders. Okay, pray for the miraculous. And we saw that in the verse about Jesus when we looked earlier. He says, Jesus went about through all the towns and villages, teaching, proclaiming the good news, and healing every disease and sickness. And that was the pattern of the early church. Okay, in Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Acts 5, verse 12 says, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. Wow. Many miraculous signs and wonders. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Okay, friends, God is a God of the supernatural. Okay, And we've got to tap into this great power and say, Lord, I'm going to pray for the sick. Okay, now, and believe God that we too will see miracles. You know, I have a friend in Bombay who's from a Parsi background. And his two children were very sick. They had fever. The fever was just not coming down. They went to different doctors, different hospitals. Nothing happened. High fever, two children. And finally, somewhere they met a pastor. And the pastor says, can we pray? And they prayed. You know, and the next day, I don't know when, but very soon, both the children were healed. And they saw the power of praying in the name of Jesus. That whole family came to faith. Till today, them, the next generation, all worshiping Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, so God can use you. Would you like to be used in signs and wonders? Yeah, well, there's one thing you got to do. Lay hands on the sick. Anybody sneezes, coughs, or does look sickly, just go and pray. Now, COVID time, you may want to handle this properly, but make sure you are praying for them. Okay, because there is power in our prayers. And don't let your experience determine how you live. Let the word of God determine how you live. This is what they did. Their lives were filled with signs and wonders. Okay, God can use me. Okay, I want you to speak with your mouth and say this. God can use me in signs and wonders. Say that, everybody. God can use me in signs and wonders. All right, we've got to believe it. Because it says Stephen. You know what Stephen was? He was an ordinary guy in the church. He was just serving the food. That's what he was doing. Okay, he didn't have a title. He wasn't the pastor. He wasn't the elder. He wasn't a leader. He was just serving food. Okay, but he was full of God's grace and power. And he did great, great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. So let's believe God for that to happen, right? Then let's move on. Let's pray for the word of God to spread rapidly. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Okay, this is number 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. Okay? So we're saying, Lord, do it. Do it quickly, Lord. Do it fast. We want to see the gospel spread rapidly. Okay? That's what we're praying for. Paul asked for prayers for that. We're asking the same thing. Then, the next thing we can pray, as we saw earlier, how the gospel spread rapidly from 120 people to thousands and thousands. Okay. And number 7, the last one is this. You know, along with the gospel comes persecution. Along with the gospel comes persecution. And we've got to realize that that's part and parcel of the thing, you know. When you receive a gift, normally it comes wrapped with wrapping paper, isn't it? And that's how it is with the gospel. When the gospel goes forth and when people get saved, there is persecution and that varies in degrees. Okay? And I want to urge you to hold steadfast in the time of persecution. Now, some of you may not know this, but let me share with you. Many, you know, in 1998, many years ago, Nawaz and I were in Goa, part of a separate training. Some of you may have heard the story, but we had a big gospel meeting where lots of people came. And at one of those meetings, okay, men came into the meeting, men and women, and they disrupted the meeting. They attacked the people. They broke all the equipment, you know, and both Nawaz and I got hit. I had my nose broken. Nawaz came to save me. She got punched in the stomach. All that happened. That's persecution. All right? But I tell you what, God gives us the grace during this time. Okay? And we need to say, and because if you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says, and verse 2, 2 Thessalonians, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. So we've got to pray for protection as well. That's what Paul asked for. He says there are wicked and evil men who don't want the gospel to go to spread. Okay? In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, this is what the disciples prayed. He says, now, Lord, Acts 4:21, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. So they prayed during persecution. They said, Lord, give us boldness, Lord. Lord, listen to what these people are saying. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. So as we are praying for strength during persecution, we are praying for the Holy Spirit, signs and wonders, boldness to proclaim the gospel. You know, and over the years, we have seen many people come to faith. And I want to encourage you with one story, you know, and some of you again may have heard this. This is when we first came to Pune. Nawaz and I were in a supermarket. We were buying milk. Yeah, and we looked at these Tetra Pak cartons, and it was like just 3 weeks from expiry. So we didn't buy it. We put it back. Okay. And just after we put it back, another couple came, and they also picked up the Tetra Pak milk carton and looked at the date and saw it's only 3 weeks away. And they also put it back. Now, is that an open door? Yes, it is. Okay, so yeah, I told you when we were first came to Pune, anything that moved, we wanted to speak to them. So we spoke to this couple and Bridge. Okay, he said, hey, by the way, you know.
Internet issue, I think.
Yeah, I think that net is gone.
Yeah, while we're getting Colin back, maybe if someone else has a story of how they shared the gospel and someone came to faith. This would be a great time to inspire one another. No? Okay, I'll give you a story. It goes back, not the story Fanny's talking about. This was my professor, and she was an atheist, you know, leftist, everything that you can expect. That is anti-religion, definitely anti-Christian. But we were working on a project together. We became friends. And when she left college because her husband was in the army, I presented her with a Bible. We stayed in touch. And she was going through a bad patch at one time. And I just told her, read the Psalms. And that was her first introduction to the Bible that she knew she had with her but had never read. To cut a long story short, I kept praying for her every week. And several years later, about 15 years later, I get a call from her and she asked me about some Christian book. And I said, yeah, it's available here, there. I said, but what is that to you? You know? And she says, oh, I have to tell you, I've become a Christian. I almost fell off the bed. I said, what? You know? And I, again, sowing and reaping. I sowed, but somebody else reaped. And today she is strong in the faith. Her son is in the faith. He's married a Christian. The grandchildren are being brought up in the ways of the Lord. And, you know, God is just amazingly faithful. We just need to take the opportunity. Anyone else?
Amen.
Oh, Colin, you're back. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm back. So, sorry about that. My internet connection died and I had to connect through my phone. All right. So this is what it is, friends. All right. We've got to be faithful. God will make us fruitful. We don't know how long it will take. It can be 1 week. One day is in one case. It can be a few weeks and months. It can be years. But we leave that in God's hands. But I tell you, it's so exciting, you know, for Nawaz and myself to see that over the years, there are men and women who have come to faith as a result of us sharing the gospel with them. Okay? Now, each of us needs to have similar stories. Okay? That's your great privilege. That is the great calling upon your life. Okay? As we sow and invest into the kingdom. You know, giving is great. That's one of the things. But we want to talk, we want to also give the gospel. Okay, now we've got to do it wisely. Yeah, we've got to do it wisely. That's why 1 Peter 3:15 is so important. Gentleness and respect. It's not winning arguments. Okay, it's praying for open doors. Okay, let's review those. Praying for workers. It's praying that I'm for myself, that I may proclaim it clearly. It's praying for the lost. It's praying for signs and wonders. It's praying for the gospel to spread rapidly. It's praying for strength during persecution. Okay, so don't give up. You may have family. You may have friends. Continue praying. Continue inviting them. Yeah, and like we said before, it's like a coconut. Okay, all you ladies who use coconuts, yeah, I remember you have this hard coconut and you want to break it. Does it break with the first knock? No. You don't know how many times you got to hit it. One, two, three, four, but you know, maybe seven times. And then it splits open. Which knock cracked open that coconut? You know, each of them did something. Each of them did something. All right? Each of them did something. And so it's the same thing with us. As Navas says, one sows, another waters. It's God who gives the growth. One sows, another reaps. Okay? So you will reap what others have sown, and you will sow, and others will reap. But God gets the glory. Amen. So this morning, I sent off invitations to three friends. Yeah, and one of them already, and this is what I did, and I encourage you to do the same thing. Today is Friendship Day, really. All right? So I wished them, I said, Happy Friendship Day. Okay? Send them a visual and all that. And then I said, listen, and then I send them the lovely video that Navaz has put together, the invitation, and send that. And I said, listen, we're having a 60-minute Friendship Day gathering next Sunday, 11 a.m. I'd so love you to join. If you can be there, please let me know. I'll send you the Zoom link. That's all. All right, today, listen, today is the day to do it. Today is the day to do it. Today is Friendship Day. So if you have any friends, if you don't have any friends, please see me. You know, but you've got to have some friends in the world. Okay, make friends. Anybody, you know, but have some friends. All right. Let's bring this meeting to, let's bring this word to an end this morning. Okay, and this is how I just want to pull things together. You and I have a great legacy. Great legacy. You know how sometimes people speak. You go to a doctor or somebody in the army. And what do they tell you? They say, you know, my father was a doctor. My grandfather was a doctor. My great-grandfather was a doctor, isn't it? And that's passed down through the generations. Same thing in the army. So I'm in the army. My father was in the army. My great-grandfather was in the army and so forth. Okay? The same for us. For us, your great-great-great-great-grandfather, whoever, Paul, and it goes back to Abraham, yeah? We're part of the people of God. We are blessed to be a blessing. We preached the gospel. We taught people from the Bible. They did signs and wonders, and they saw people saved. Wow. That happened to Paul. It went through probably to Timothy and others, and now it's come to you. So you have a great heritage and a great legacy. And you've got to pass it on to the next generation. Okay? And the one, you know, another verse that says, he who wins souls is wise. And he says, those who win souls will shine like the stars in heaven. There's great promise for those who are soul winners. And my prayer is that every one of us will get into our DNA and that we will reproduce. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great calling upon our lives. You were the greatest soul winner, Lord Jesus. Lord, and you've called us to proclaim your glorious gospel. Lord, I pray for each one here that we would be faithful, we would be fruitful, Lord. Give us open doors, Lord. Give us open doors. Anoint us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Give us, Lord, that we may perform signs and wonders. Give us boldness, that we would speak boldly about the gospel and about you, Lord. And we pray that you give us strength in the face of persecution and insults and opposition and rejection, that you would give us strength and comfort. I pray that Word of Grace would see phenomenal growth as we saw in the early church, Lord. Lord, our experience is not our reality, Lord. We look back to our glorious history and say, do the same thing here again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.